Welcome to History in Six, a place where we sample history in six-minute increments. I'm your host, Tim Lindell. Today we're going to talk about the split between North and South Carolina. Time is short. Let's jump into it. In 1585, under Queen Elizabeth, the Roanoke Colony was founded and was doomed for failure. Under James I, the Virginia Colony and Plymouth, Massachusetts area began to become colonized. It wasn't until 1629 when King Charles I granted a charter to Sir Robert Heath to establish a colony called Carolina. However, these initial attempts at settlement weren't successful, and eventually the charter was revoked. Under King Charles II in 1663, a new charter was issued to 8 Lord Proprietors. This charter provided a more defined framework for governance and attracted new settlers. This kicked off the official founding of the Carolina colony. The colony formed around 2 primary locations that were about 300 miles apart. In the north, you had Albemarle, and in the south, you had Charlestown. It was the vast distance between the northern settlements around Albemarle and the southern settlements around Charleston, which made communication and unified governance of this new colony quite difficult. Transportation and infrastructure in the new colony were to be put mildly as limited, making travel and coordination between the north and south a significant challenge. The northern part of Carolina tended to have smaller farms and a population which was more focused on subsistence agriculture, i.e. growing food for themselves. In South Carolina, on the other hand, as we've seen, as we talked about previously, was populated by Barbadians who were developing a plantation system with much larger farms and a growing reliance on slave labor to work these farms, particularly for cash crops like rice and indigo. The 8 Lord Proprietors were primarily motivated by profit. They were seeking income from resources like sale of land and being part of the trade from the new colony. The colonists, on the other hand, were more concerned with establishing a stable and prosperous society. And these differing priorities often clashed. The Lord Proprietors appointed governors who mostly proved to be ineffective leaders. They also resided in England, which was a long way away from the daily realities of life in Carolina, which would made it really difficult to address the colonists' concerns effectively. And more importantly, these Lord Proprietors struggled to provide adequate security for the colonists. This included fending off attacks from the Native Americans and controlling pirate activity that plagued the Carolina coast. Between 1711 and 1750, there was the Tuscarora War. As the English colonists came over, they began to expand out their settlements, and they steadily encroached on the Tuscarora's tribal lands, which led to friction and resentment from the tribes. The Tuscaroras felt that they were being cheated by English traders, who often exploited them in trade negotiations. This culminated in the execution of John Lawson in 1711. He was a prominent colonist. He was killed by the Tuscaroras during a diplomatic mission. While the reasons for his killing remain unclear, it obviously escalated tensions and triggered the outbreak of the war. The Tuscarora launched a surprise attack on colonist settlements in 1711, inflicting heavy casualties. Between 140 and 200 were killed. The colonists fought back along with the Yamasee and other Native American allies. The war became quite brutal with atrocities committed on both sides. But eventually the Tuscarora were defeated due to the superior numbers and superior weaponry of the colonists and their allies. On top of this war, you had pirates, and most notably Blackbeard, who in 1780 created a blockade of the Charleston port, making trade nearly impossible, along with stealing what goods were to be traded. Needless to say, the colonists felt vulnerable and were quite frustrated by the proprietors' inability to secure their safety in a day-to-day basis. Those in Charleston who were wealthier plantation owners were able to get King George I's ear, who declared South Carolina as a royal colony in 1719. In 1729, the Lord Proprietor's inability to effectively manage Carolina and address these issues led them to sell their rights for North Carolina back to King George II in 1729. Soon after, North Carolina was granted its own charter. This allowed these two disparate colonies to establish their own government and allowed them to go down their own individual paths of government and better handle their day-to-day concerns as colonists. At the end of the day, it was the colonists' frustrations with the Lord Proprietors, combined with these internal divisions within Carolina itself, i.e. the distance between them, which created conditions for the split. The separation into North and South Carolina allowed each region to pursue a more self-determined path. If you've enjoyed this episode, tell a friend about us. If you haven't already, subscribe to get future content. And as always, have a great day if you want to.